All right, kiddos, come on and join me. All right, y'all have a seat. Come on, everybody have a seat. All right, I need to be able to see your eyes and your hair. Okay? All right. Okay, let's see. Who all has blue eyes?
I don't know if I have blue eyes.
Blue eyes, raise your hand. All right. All right. Green eyes? I can't tell. Yeah, they're green. They're hazel. Green, okay. Who has brown eyes? Green and brown. Oh, yeah, I see those all the time. Okay. All right. How about color of hair, okay? Well, let's see. We got blonde here. We're going to group everybody right here. Let's get the blondes. Come here. Blonde, stand right here. Blonde, okay, brown. Where's brown? Let's get brown right here. Brown hair. We have anybody with black hair? Huh? Hey, wait a second. Let me ask y'all a question. Did God make all of y'all?
Yes.
Why'd He make you different?
He wants everyone to be different from others.
Are any of us the same?
No.
All right, let's see. Put your hand up there, boy. Oh, boy.
That's tiny.
All right. Come here, Daniel. Come here. I have to look up to Daniel. Look at that.
Yeah, he's taller than you.
He's taller than me.
I'm taller than all of you.
But... Now, turn around and look at everybody out here. Are they all different?
Yes.
Woo!
Somebody that's really tough.
All right, now listen to me. Look, I want to read this one scripture to you. Listen to this closely. It says, in the 14th verse of the 139th Psalm, it says, I will give thanks to you, that's the Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know that? God made you, and you are wonderful. Let's say that together. I am wonderful.
I am wonderful.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Let's say that.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's right. And who made us?
Yeah,
so we're all made in His image. Y'all come in here and let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for these children, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made in Your sight. And Lord, I pray Your blessing on them, that they will feel Your blessing today, Lord, as You lead them, as You work in their hearts and draw them to Yourself. Speak to them today, Lord, as they go to Kids Zone. May they hear Your word clearly and plainly. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you were not here at 9:30 this morning, but we record this so you can listen to it. I would encourage you. Brother Rick's been talking about hearing God's voice at our 9:30 teaching the last two Sundays. I'd encourage you to get online and listen to those messages. It is a word for us for today. Now, we're very diverse as a body. We are diverse in so many ways. And today, we're diverse in a way that I want to prepare you for the message that I'm going to bring to you today. Some of you have never received Jesus. You've got religion, but you've never really had a personal relationship with Jesus. And I want to encourage you not to let some of what we're going to say today get past you, but it might cause you to have some questions. And I want to encourage you to ask those questions. We want to have some dialogue. And then some of you go all the way to the other end. You've known the Lord for a long, long time. And you have a comfort level in that. But you know what? I don't believe God's very comfortable with our comfortability right now. And I think you're going to see why. The title of today's message is, It's Time to Pay Attention. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, which we're going to read in just a moment. But let me introduce the message. It's time to pay attention. It's time for people right here in our city. It's time for our church. It's time for believers in the United States, in the West, and all over the world to pay attention. What is God saying to us? What are the things that are going on in the earth that we need to pay attention to? What are the things going on in our country that we need to pay attention to? Well, just recently, we've seen our stock market go, it's like you're on a roller coaster. I know some of you are thinking, well, you know, I don't have any money invested in the stock market. Well, maybe not. But the businesses you work for, the economy that you're in is sure affected by what goes on with that stock market. A lot of things, a lot of volatility that is going on today. Things are changing in the world. The world economy is moving. It's not going to be too much longer that, you know, how long is the rest of the world going to let the United States monetize their debt and print money and victimize the rest of the world with that? See, the dollar is the world standard. But what happens if the dollar isn't the world standard? What happens if they came up with something else? Boy, that's going to change things in our country in ways we can't even imagine. You know, this past week, the largest submarine in the world, this Typhoon-class submarine that's in the picture here, made by the Russians, it houses 200 nuclear warheads. It has 20 ICBMs on it. That nuclear submarine is parked right off the coast of Syria right now with a task group that goes with it. Do you think the Russians are making a statement? Or, you know, over the weekend we've seen transport after transport from Russia landing in Syria right now. Does that affect you? Better believe it does. It's time to start paying attention. These people, who are they? Refugees. Do you know that half of the population of the country of Syria is displaced right now? Half. Refugees are coming west in Europe, coming to countries by the thousands, many thousands, they're coming. They're going to change, it's going to change the map in Western Europe. That's happening right now. And they're all being displaced by war. If that opens up, well, things are going to change. I got a lot more I could say about that, but we'll stop there. Next picture. Cartoon. Uncle Sam, fingers crossed. Iranian negotiators, most definitely. We're about to sign on Well, the nuke deal that essentially is guaranteeing and amping up of war, the rattling of sabers that's going on. Now that's a fact. It's happening in all the countries there in the Middle East as they're wondering, what's going to happen when Iran gets a nuke? Now I know some of you don't want to think about these things, but they're part of our world and they're part of what's happening in the earth right now. Just a few things. Look at all the social things that have happened in our country. What has changed here in our country in the last 10 years? What's happened to marriage? What's happened to families? You know, is the divorce rate increasing or decreasing? Of course, it's increasing. And how many people just don't bother to be married? The commitment level, the whole gay marriage thing that has come, something that you thought, well, man, I couldn't even wrap my mind around that would happen 10 years ago. And look at how the map socially is changing in our country. Now, with all that said, I want to read this passage from Ephesians. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Let me ask you, will there be a time where God will bring a reckoning to the earth? Can we continue to thumb our nose at His law and His word and it not change and Him not respond? Verse 7, therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. See, He's changed us. Walk as children of the light, full of the fruit of the light, for it consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So we're supposed to have those attitudes in our lives. Trying to learn, verse 10, what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it's disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. I want to ask you right now, are there some disgraceful things happening in the world right now? All I have to do is mention one word. I say ISIS. And I think of the most heinous things that could happen for humanity. The murder, the rape, the execution that is happening by this one group in the earth. I know people, they say, oh man, I don't want to think about that. That doesn't affect me. Yes, it does. It's on our shores. Verse 13, but all things become visible when they're exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, then he quotes, awake, sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the day are evil. Do you believe that? If Christians don't stand, if there is no voice of the gospel in the world, you take that out, what fills that vacuum? Let me ask you this. Go to any school and say to all the students, well, today there are going to be no rules. Withdraw that from that school. What do you have? Absolute chaos. And what do you see as as Christians withdraw from society, as they withdraw and shrink in many cases in the West, not happening in other parts of the world. I mean, the church is growing like wildfire in other places, but not here in America, not in the West. You look at that and you see what moves into that. You withdraw the light, and what's the default mode when the light is withdrawn? Darkness, that's correct. Verse 17. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And what's His will? Verse 18. We've quoted it often. Do not get drunk on wine wherein there's excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. There's what God is calling us to do. We'll come back to that in just a moment, because I want to summarize and conclude today's message by looking back at verses 15 through 21. What happens on today at sundown? What begins at sundown? Does anybody know? Rosh Hashanah, which is the Feast of Trumpets. That's right. Now, John, if you'll put up that next, we'll come back to that in just a second. I need the picture of the feasts. Go ahead to it. All right. I've shown you this picture before. If you want to look at an outline of history, according to God's Word, here's an outline of history. His story, which is what history is. We have seven feasts called Feasts of the Lord. There's the spring and the beginning of the summer and then the fall feast. Four of the seven have been fulfilled. We have Passover, unleavened bread and first fruits, which were fulfilled in the spring with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. There it is, right there. We have the Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, which was fulfilled with the coming of the Holy Spirit. See the parallelism. So, if the Lord has fulfilled these four feasts, what's the possibility that He's going to fulfill the other three? He fulfilled the first set in the first coming of Jesus. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this today, but this is brand new material to some of you. You've never seen this before. Now, some of you never heard this before. I want you to know, we have it described in the Scripture. But then you have the fall feast, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. These are going to be fulfilled in the second coming of Jesus. The shouting out of the trumpets, trumpeting, you know, that He is coming, and there's going to be judgment in the earth that will conclude as the Feast of Tabernacles becomes a picture of His millennial reign as He comes and He sets up His kingdom on this earth. And He shows us how it was supposed to be, how He intended it from the beginning. I want you to see this parallelism. Now, all of these fall feasts happen, the celebration of them is happening beginning today on through the end of the month. And we're going to look at those dates here in just a second. John, if you go back to that scripture now. Now, do you think that there is a shaking coming to our country? Anybody? Do you believe that? Do you think that's going to happen? But what is God saying to us in all of this? His message again and again, he's trying to get our attention. And he's trying to draw us to himself. In nautical terms, we call that a shot across the bow. And we're getting that. We've gotten it over and over again in our country. Now, I'm not going to do a great long teaching on this, but this word, Shemitah, is a word. Some of you have read Rabbi Kahn's book. Some of you have seen this on the internet. But I want to read this passage from Deuteronomy and see its fulfillment. Things are happening right now. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a remission of debts. So that would there would be, as they went forward, this was the ideal for that community, God's kingdom of faith on this earth, so there would be no debt. This is the manner of remission, and that remission of debts, that the word there, it's that's the word in Hebrew, is the word Shemitah. This is a manner of remission. Every creditor shall release what he has loaned to his neighbor, shall not exact it of his neighbor and his brother, because the Lord's remission, his Shemitah, has been proclaimed. From a foreigner you may exact, but the hand shall release whatever is yours with your brother. However, there shall be no poor among you, since the Lord will surely bless you in the land which the Lord, Yahweh himself, is giving you as an inheritance possessed. Go to the next one, John. If only you listen obediently. There's the if. Here's God's plan of blessing, but what he wants is obedience from us. Are you paying attention here? Are you following me? This is the word. To observe carefully all of his commandments, which I'm commanding you today. Now, did that promise go out of style? Has it been eliminated in any way? Of course not. For the Lord your God, Yahweh himself, will bless you as he has promised you, and you will lend to many nations, but you will not borrow, and you will rule over many nations, but they will not rule over you. And God is, we're seeing that fulfilled in Israel right now. Now, what I want to say to you is there's this pattern, the seven-year pattern, and you look at that in the last several patterns here in our country. Beginning and today at sundown will complete the Shemitah year, the seventh year. Now, there can be at that either blessing if you've cooperated with the Lord, or if you don't cooperate with the Lord, here's God's cover over here, and when we run out from under it, what happens to us? Blessing over here, what are we running into? People say, well, God cursed me. Well, no, you ran into the curse. do you see the difference? Big difference there. So, we've seen those cycles in our country. On this day, back in 2001, this same day on the Hebrew calendar, we had the greatest one-day stock market crash in U.S. history up to that point in time. Our stock market went down 684 points in one day. That's a bunch. Fast forward, on the same day on the Hebrew calendar, 7 years later, 2008, it went down 777 points. Now, my question to you is, isn't it time to start paying attention? We had 9/11. Isn't it time to start paying attention? To take seriously our faith? For it to be working out and working through our lives, isn't it time to take it seriously? Beginning at sundown today will be the celebration of the Feast of Trumpets. Beginning on the 15th, which will be Tuesday, the UN will meet. Where does the UN meet? In New York City. And before the UN is a resolution right now that the French are bringing forth to recognize a Palestinian state and to divide Jerusalem. Now, what does God think of that? That's maniacal to think of that. That's idiocy. God doesn't play. He's brought His people back. The miracle that is Israel. The miracle that they are there. If I sound passionate about this, I am, because I watch a modern miracle take place and I've lived it. I've watched it. You have too. You've seen it. What's God going to think of that? And what's God going to think of any country that comes in agreement with that? What does history tell us? I will bless them who bless you, and I will curse them that curse you. On September 20th to the 26th will be the World Week of Peace in Palestine, Israel. By the way, I hate to even use that word, because Palestine has nothing to do. It's Israel. And that's being sponsored by the World Council of Churches. Another bankrupt, spiritually, organization. On the 21st of September, there's the International Day, the UN International Day of Peace. Now, what has the United Nations been a part of? Right now, we have the greatest displacement of humanity that we've seen in a long time. And where is the United Nations? On the 23rd of September is Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. On the 23rd, Pope Francis will visit the United States. On the 24th, the Pope will address a joint session of Congress. Is it any accident that all of this stuff is happening right here at the same time? On the 28th, we'll begin the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, at that time, John, if you'll go on ahead to the blood moons. Remember, I preached a message last year about the tetrad, the blood moons, and I showed to you then how the Lord has done things in the past that coincided with these blood moons. Now, what this means is a blood moon is a lunar eclipse, and when an eclipse, you see the red there. Any of you at least seen this on the internet? you've looked at it. Now, am I predicting anything that's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month? No, I've not predicted one thing so far, have I? I've not said this is going to happen. What I have said, I've read the Word of God to you, and I'm looking at the signs. Now, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heaven to separate day from the night." What are those? Sun and the moon. "And let them be for," what's the first word there? "Signs, and for seasons, and for days and years." So there you have, in Genesis, predicting Yes, we need to look at the signs. Now usually, just a general statement here, usually when you have a solar eclipse, it has something to do with something that's going on in the world from a Gentile standpoint, something's going on in the world. But when you have the lunar eclipse and this tetrad, this four, these four blood moons where they coincide with Passover, Tabernacles, Passover, Tabernacles, they happen in successive years, four of them together, four lunar eclipses that go together. It has something to do, it's connected with something that is happening with the Jews. We look back in history and we see that. We see that happening back in 1492, 93, and we see that that time, Columbus, what happened in 1492? Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And what's happening to Jews at that time? Jews at that time are being run out of Spain and then being run out of Portugal. But where does Columbus go? What does he discover? I know the Vikings and I know all that. But I'm talking about what happened for the world as it broke open. America. What country is the largest repository of Jews in the history of mankind? This country where we live. So, that happened in 1492. A tetrad. Four blood moons. Passover, Tabernacles, Passover, Tabernacles. Then in 48 and 49, it happened again. Four of them together. What's significant about that date in history? Anybody? Israel. Dry bones came to life. I mean, you read Ezekiel and dry bones came to life. It happened. The miracle of all the wandering for thousands of years and now they finally have their back in their homeland. God did it. God did it. 1967, it happens again. Passover, Tabernacles, two successive years. What happened in 67? Jerusalem comes back to the Jews. Whew! Now, brothers and sisters, I can't say what is going to happen. I can't say tomorrow, next week, next month, you know, that this is going to happen. We're going to know about it. But let me tell you, things are happening right now so quickly in the earth. And there's not one syllable of God's prophetic word that He's going to let drop to the ground. He is going to fulfill everything. It's time to pay attention. He said, look at the sign. I've put them there so you can see. This is going to happen the end of this month. It's going to happen. We've got to look. But when you start looking at the Lord, what does that require you to do about yourself? You've got to look at your own life. You got to do an Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white. It's time to pay attention. I've struggled with this message because I knew in my heart as a shepherd, and I have a shepherd's heart. I know that this message hurts your ears. I know it does. It hurts my ears. But what kind of shepherd would I be, would Rick be, would Dane be, if we didn't tell you the truth? It's time to pay attention. Now, I said I would conclude today. I've drug out more snakes than I can kill today. Look that up, kids. That's in your dictionary somewhere. With those last seven verses from that Ephesians passage. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Look at your life. It's time to take inventory. Let me ask you, are you producing any fruit in the kingdom right now? Are you? Where is it? Am I producing any fruit in the kingdom? Where is it? Let's all become Missourians here. Show me. Not me, the Lord. Not unwise men, but wise. You know, that question from Forrest Gump, are you stupid or something? Thank you, Daniel. I couldn't say it better. Did y'all hear that? Stupid is and stupid does. That's what he's saying here. We need to start walking like wise men, not idiots. Need to pay attention. Making the most of your time. Click, 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 the days. And with the days as they march by, so do opportunities. Because you have influence in the people that are around you. Are you saying today, Dusty, that the arm of judgment is about to come down on this nation? There's nothing we can do about it? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, let's wake up and turn to the Lord so that that judgment will not come on this country. Let's start serving Him with everything that He has given to us. It's a message of hope, but it's a message of truth. Because the days are evil. The lost world is acting like the lost world. Don't be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And let me tell you, you can't understand what God's will is unless you're spending time with Him, in His book, and with His people. You can't do it. There are no Lone Ranger Christians. There is no alternate plan out there. His plan for us is the body of Christ, the living, breathing hands and feet of Jesus on this earth. That's who we are. Don't get drunk on wine. In other words, don't anesthetize yourself. Don't self-medicate. Don't withdraw from the world, with whatever you're withdrawing from the world with. If it's TV, if it's entertainment, if it's whatever, wake up and smell the coffee. Look around you. And this isn't a message for one generation. It's a message for all generations. Man, there are parts of my growing up that I wish that I could give to our young people. Now, some parts, no. But other parts, I wish I could give them a street where you didn't have to lock your door at night. Where a guy pulling a wagon with a horse dropped your milk off on your front porch in glass bottles. You know, I wish I could give you that. But you know what? We don't live there anymore. And we haven't lived there in a long time. This world is heading to a conclusion to the second coming of Jesus the Christ. And he says, in the midst of all that, what is his challenge? What is his command to us? He says, be filled. It's a command. The Holy Spirit is pointing the finger. He's saying, you be filled to the capacity with the Holy Spirit. And filled in such a way, what happens when you fill a glass with water and it gets jostled? You spill out. Man, when your life gets jostled, wouldn't it be great that the people around you get wet with the Holy Spirit? Because that's what you're filled with. That's who you're filled with. And he says, and here's how to do it. As you're filled, then you're going to be worshiping Him in your life. You're going to be living every day in prayer. It's not walking around on your knees. That's not what I'm talking about. Or being stupid in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the living, breathing body of Jesus, where there's kindness, where there's understanding, where there's love, where there is a mission that cares about the souls of people that are separated from God. And if somebody doesn't tell them about Jesus, they will spend forever apart from Him. That's the facts. Always, he says, giving thanks, thanking God for all things. Man, if you want to start a revival right now, just start thanking God. You can't thank Him enough. I just breathed some of His air. I need to thank Him. And then finally he says, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ, in the reverential awe of Jesus. Be subject to one another. What does that mean? It means accountability. It means that God has called us to accountability. To speak the truth to one another. To speak into one another's life. And build one another up. Not tear one another down. I'm not bringing today a message of division. I'm bringing a message of unity. Around the one who has saved us. Who has changed our lives. Are you ready? Are you ready for God to just be turned loose in you? And you to be turned loose on your world? What does that look like? Well, that's all I've got to say about that. Let's pray. Lord, we open the altar now. Lord, as our pastors come, stand here. Lord, as we open this altar, we ask You to speak. Lord, I know You're trying to get our attention. You're trying to get my attention. Lord, shepherd this flock. I ask Your forgiveness for my sin. For all the ways I fail You. Lord, I confess that right now. And I ask, Lord, for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, come. Come right now. Lord, I'm asking You for a passion to change our hearts. Lord, all the evil things that go on in our community, Lord, that's all darkness. And I'm asking You, Lord, that You'll turn the light on through us and shine through us, that we'll be luminaries, reflectors, Lord, of the love and the joy of Jesus in our lives. Lord, I'm praying that today, Lord. Come. Come today. Lord, convict us today of our sin. What separates us from you? Lord, we know there is never renewal without confession. So come, Lord Jesus. Come right now. We lift up your name. Jesus, you are Lord over all. There is none other in the earth. Come now. Come in this place. Come, Lord, right now. Come. The altar's open. You come. You may want to get someone to come and pray with you today. Come and intercede. Let God speak to you. Maybe there are those in your family need this today. Come today, right now. The altar's open. Look this way, if you will. We continue to pray. You know, how's the Lord speaking to you? You know, what's your life going to be like? You leave out of here. We go back into our worlds. He wants to use you. Use you right where you are with the people in your life. Ask Him to open your eyes so you can see. You can see the way He sees your world and see the people that are dying by inches around you. Let me tell you, I've been researching this stuff that I've showed you today. I've been researching this stuff for several years. I'm telling you, even in the world, they know something's happening. People that don't know anything about Jesus, they can feel it. They can feel the thump, thump, thump right now. And they know that we're headed somewhere. Why not go to wherever we're with Jesus? We're headed toward His second coming. He's coming. That should bring great joy to our lives as we live it out. What would happen tomorrow if you walked into your office, your place of business, and instead of coming in complaining over that cup of coffee with droopy eyes and all that, you went in with true joy in your heart? Amen. What would happen to your place of business? Man, they'd be calling the cops. What happened? They've abducted them and an alien has taken over their body. Hey, that's what I'm asking you to be. That's what the Lord's asking us to be. At your school. I'm not asking you to be an idiot. I'm asking you just to act like the one you belong to. Jesus. Okay? All right, I'll send you out. That's your mission. Sick 'em.